Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, as we come together, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, not only here to worship and praise you, but, dear Lord, to be receptive to your word. Lord, we're excited about your message tonight and every day, dear Lord, and we're excited about this new season you've given us, this new year. Lord, now we're just going to place it all in your hands, dear Lord. You see and you know the hands that were raised this evening. Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, so spoken and unspoken prayer requests. And, dear Lord, we're placing them all into your mighty hands, dear Lord. We're asking you to protect, to heal, to mend, to provide, dear Lord, each and every situation that goes forth. Those that aren't able to be with us tonight for whatever reason, dear Lord. Lord, whether they're sick and shut in for any reason or recovering from procedures, Lord, we're asking you to touch them now. For those that are traveling, Lord, keep them safe. Bring them back at our appointed time. And, dear Lord, for all that are watching on the live feed or at a later date, dear Lord, we ask you to continue to bless them, dear Lord, and we know that you hear their prayers and their cries. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 390. There's power in the blood. I'm going to need y'all's help. This evening, everybody just sing out and just lift up the Lord. There's power in the blood, page 390. I didn't give them a chance to tell them what it was tonight. There you go. Thank you for his many, many blessings. I know, don't know about y'all, but as the new year starts out and all the excitement that goes on, all the holiday seasons, you see The reality setting in this next week is people start back to work. The kids will go back to school. I think that the Carroll County, I know, starts back around Tuesday, and the teachers tomorrow. I want to keep all of them in our prayers. They've had some extra time off this season, that they'll all get back and hit the books as they should. And also for those that are taking care of our kids, the teachers, all the staff, all the bus drivers and all that are involved, for the Lord just to touch them and be with them and protect them. Let's be in much prayer for them as we go into this last latter part of the school year. I know we got a group of seniors that's all excited to get it over with, and we got a lot of little ones excited just to get into school. So praise the Lord. Praise God. Don't forget, it was announced this morning, next Sunday at 5 o'clock, we're going to be at the... Now the season's over, getting everybody back. The choir will start practicing again, so if you'd like to be in the choir, please make plans to come. See Miss Penny if you have any questions, and we want to keep them in the prayers. That's the only announcement that I have right now. Any others? All righty, we're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Praise God. We'll go ahead and do that. Praise the Lord. Brother Chris, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please?
At the cross.
Nikki, if you would, come on up. Praise the Lord. And then Sister Karen after her, and Brother Jeff after Miss Karen. Praise God. Got somebody want to come sing with you?
Y'all bear with me for a minute. God laid this on my heart a couple weeks ago. But when I get up here, I feel kind of stupid because I feel like I stumble over my words. But about a year ago, I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. I just felt like all the joy had been, just drained out of me. But it was a day-to-day struggle. So anyway, I started reading the Bible, and I was reading Psalm, and that's where I started. It was like, God led me to read Psalm. And I was reading it, and I looked at Kevin, and I said, Kevin, I said, David went to God for everything. I said, David went to God for things that I'd never thought I would go to God for. And Kevin said, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go to Him for everything. And I was thinking, I'm like, you know, it does, you know, because the Bible says, you know, I will never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't say in parentheses, you know, I'll never leave you, forsake you, only in the good times. You know, He'll never leave you or forsake you, even in the bad times. And with Him, you know, I've just turned everything over to Him. And I just feel so much better. And I just give Him all the glory. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail.
So hold off on that soundtrack for a second. Y'all know
the Neelands, of course,
Just Like God. Give me a G. Let me see if we. Wait.
Yeah.
Ain't it just like God to deliver? Ain't it just like God satisfied? It is so much like Him to meet our every need. Ain't it just like Him to supply? Oh, Father Abraham sent Isaac a sacrifice to be. Oh, but Abraham was faithful in God's promise. He believed when he laid his dear son Isaac on the altar to the Lord. Then an angel cried from heaven, neither do thy son no harm. Ain't it just like God to deliver? Ain't it just like God to satisfy? It is so much like Him to meet our every need. Ain't it just like Him to supply? Oh, it'll spare almost empty cruise of oil, nearly dry. No more hope for living, my son and I must die. But you ain't heard find no supper for a man of God, they say. He blessed the widow's barrel, now my son and I are saved. Ain't it just like God to deliver? Ain't it just like God to satisfy? And it is so much like Him to meet our every need. And it's just like Him to supply. Oh, they threw the prophet Daniel into the lion's den. But Daniel knew no worries with Jehovah God in him. When the king cried out to Daniel, did that God deliver thee? From the lion's den cried Daniel, He did deliver me. Ain't it just like God to deliver? Ain't it just like God to satisfy? It is so much like Him to meet our every need. Ain't it just like Him to supply? Ain't it just like God to deliver? Ain't it just like God to satisfy? It is so much like Him to meet our every need. Ain't it just like Him to supply?
Sometimes it takes them out.
Praise the
Lord. I face a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on You, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need You like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a trial. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. me, Jesus, I thought I could control. Whatever life would throw my way. Oh, but this, I must admit, has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, I'm not ashamed to say. Oh, sometimes it takes a mountain. To get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. It's brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say. Not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain. To get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to try. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger. To trust you and
whatever the situation. Amen. God is able to work it out. Come on, one more time for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I just got a good feeling about things. I said I got a good feeling about things. Lord told me to quit looking at the negative and start looking toward Him. Amen?
Amen.
I believe God's got something special in store. Amen. Not only for tonight, but for this coming year. And for those who just have faith in God. Glory to God. Amen. What a powerful, powerful God that we serve. Able to answer all of our prayers.
Yes.
Glory to God. We have a special treat for us tonight. Brother Chris is going to be preaching for us. And I want you to pray for Brother Chris.
Yes.
Not only that the Lord will lead him, but I kind of know how it is. His better part, his wife, is at home recovering from surgery. And I know it's kind of like preaching without your right arm, but I know that he depends on God. But I know from past experience, when my wife is not here, that I feel like this, there's a big, big part of me missing. But we're going to fill in for her tonight, and we're going to pray for him and ask God to just to give him that deliverance, amen, to bring us the word tonight. Brother Chris, come take your liberty in the Lord. Give the Lord praise, amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God.
Amen. Just have faith in God.
That's it.
Amen. Somebody said, is it really that simple? Yes, it is. It's really that simple. You don't have to stand up just yet, because there's some things that God wants to do before we get into the message. Sister Nikki was up here testifying, and whenever, first of all, I want to say there's not a person in this room that doesn't get depressed. There's not a person in this room that doesn't get anxiety. If you're human, you get it. And it's up to us to recognize that we need a Savior. Whenever I was going through in my younger days, and even as I get older, I find myself at times being depressed. I open the book of Psalms to chapter number 3. And I start reading, you don't have to go there, but I want to read the words, what David said. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But if you can ever be in a depressed state, and you can get to this next verse, and you just don't start crying, but thou, O Lord, art a shield.
Amen.
Brother Eddie was just talking, hallelujah. He was just talking about a shield this morning.
Amen.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
Amen.
My glory and the lifter up of my head.
Lift her up. Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. And verse number 4 said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his, Brother Keith, holy hill. Behind that it says Selah. You know what that means? Pause and calmly think of that. Woo! I'm telling you, there is help. I'm telling you, there is help. No matter what 2021 has to hold, there is help. And his name is Jesus. There is help and there is hope. Somebody says, I'm hopeless. No, you're not. If you've got Jesus, you can't be hopeless, because he is our hope. Amen. And I thank God. I thank God that he's always right there. And I thank God that he is the lifter up of my head. Amen. I want to do something a little bit different. You know, I had everything nice and planned out, and God just changed everything. But you know what? That's all right. I learned a long time ago just to follow him.
Amen, Brother Chris.
John chapter number 3 is where we're going to open with. Is this mic on? Hello. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? John chapter number 3, you will in a minute. I'm sure the people on live stream are going, what is he saying? John chapter number 3 and verse 16. I love this, because not only is this a very
very quoted verse. Matter of fact, going back, I think this was one of the first Bible verses I ever remembered, that I ever memorized. But it's also red letter writing. Which meant Jesus said it. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus says something, I'm going to listen. When Jesus is speaking, if it even is not to me, I want to hear what He's got to say. Amen. We turn on the CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC to try to hear what the president wants to say. To try to hear what everybody else wants to say. Turn it off. Listen to what God wants to say. He's still the King. And always will be.
Amen.
My Bible tells me that, just in case you were wondering, every knee shall bow.
Every
and every tongue shall confess that He is King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter number 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Verse number 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world,
thank you, Jesus,
but that the world through Him might be saved. Brother Eddie, will you open with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, how we love and thank You, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, God, for Your blessings that we feel here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that You would be with the man of God who's bringing forth the word tonight. God, anoint his lips. God, anoint his tongue. God, that he may be a vessel that You could use and speak through our hearts tonight. God, that we might be submissive and obedient to Your word and to Your will. And we'll give You all praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If I had a sermon title tonight, it would just simply be, I Surrender All.
All right. Amen.
As I've been studying and studying and studying and praying and studying, and the Lord just changed everything while I was sitting right there. And as we were up here praying, I heard the Lord speaking to my spirit. Somebody needs to break their alabaster box.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what the alabaster box is, it was a very costly box.
Yes,
it carried oil in it that was very costly. Mary, whenever she came to Jesus, she broke the alabaster box. All of the oil that was inside of that alabaster box could have been sold for a lot of money and could have been used to take care of the disciples for some amount of time. But she broke that alabaster box and began to, with her hair, to wipe that oil on his feet. Why? Because she knew who Jesus was. Because she had a relationship with Jesus to where she knew that He was more important than what was inside of that box. When was the last time somebody brought you a pizza and they didn't have a box in it? It's got a box on the outside. That box, whenever she busted that alabaster box, it was no more meant to hold oil again. What she was saying was, God, I give You everything. God, I give You everything. Everything in my future and everything in my past. God, I give You everything. The woman at the well, what did she say? She said, are You more than Jacob who made this well? And he said, oh, if You'd only known who I am. I'm going to give You water that you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. And that's how Jesus is to us. But what we do is we carry around things. And we carry around things for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years. We carry around things in our life and we say, God, everything's all right between me and You, right? And God said, no, it's not. You got this little thing you've been holding on to. You don't understand, whether it be sin, whether it be something that you just haven't fully given over to God, whatever it might be, we can sit on the pews and we can act like everything's all right. But God said you need to surrender all.
Amen.
You need to surrender
Amen.
All. All is all.
Every bit
is everything. I can remember as I was sitting over here, and you know, the Lord brings things into remembrance at times. And I can remember, and Brother Eddie was talking about whenever he was called to pastor. I can remember when God called me to preach years and years and years ago. And I said, God, I don't really want to do that. I'm not the type of person to get up in front of people and talk because they look at me funny. If I had a big mirror up here, y'all would be laughing because some of the looks you get is like, oh, you know, that's pretty funny. Am I right or wrong, Brother Eddie? Sometimes, you know. But you know what? My wife ain't here, so she ain't giving me no looks. So she's watching on the live stream. I grant you she is. But I remember feeling the tug of God. You need to do this.
Thank you, Lord.
You need to do this. I still love God. I was still going to church. But God, somebody else can do it. God, let somebody else do it who's better at talking. There's people out there that are better than me, God. You don't understand. I'm just a little bitty nobody. I can't do this, God. I can't. And God said, I want you to do it. I want Sunday after Sunday, Brother Eddie, it would just ring in my ears. Follow me. Do what I want you to do. Let go. Let go. Let go. God, I can't do that. God's got a way of getting a hold of your attention. He's got a way of getting a hold of your attention. Gabriel, when he was very, very young, probably, I think he was about 3 years old when this happened. I was in work in Tallahassee, which is about 90 miles from where we live. And Tabitha called me. Gabriel's got into ants. He's not breathing. I'm taking him to the hospital. And the first thing I did was, oh God, touch him. My truck only ran 77 miles an hour. 77 miles an hour to go 90 miles, that ain't fast enough. And I'll never forget the feeling of hopelessness. That I just felt like my child was going to die. And then I couldn't do anything about it. I stopped the truck at the rest area. And I said, God, whatever it takes, whatever you want me to do, I'm listening now. I wasn't listening before, but I'm listening now. God, I surrender all. Whatever you, if you want me to go over here, I'll do it. If you want me to go over there, I'll do it. My pride is suddenly out of the way. And I felt a peace, Brother Eddie, from the very top of my head to the sole of my feet just come over me.
Thank you,
and it was a peace that only God could give, and I knew everything's going to be all right. Matter of fact, on the whole way home, I was still running 77 miles an hour, but I was singing, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. And I just knew that in my spirit. I got a feeling. When I got to the hospital, I went right into the hospital and went to the back. And Gabriel looked like he'd been in a fire. His skin was all blotchy. And I asked Abby, I said, what's wrong with that child? She said, it was a lot worse before you got here. And I said, is he okay? The doctor came in and said, I've never, ever seen a child with such a severe allergic reaction to something, and they still lived.
Jesus.
And I said, God, you did it again.
Thank you, Lord.
You're still a miracle worker.
Yes.
And
yes,
I said, God, sometimes I can be hard-headed, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. Break my will, God. I surrender to your will. I surrender all, Lord. I surrender all. It doesn't matter anymore, God. I surrender all.
Amen.
For God so loved the world.
Yes, he did.
He could have given anything, but he gave all he had. He gave his only begotten Son.
Thank you, Lord.
That whosoever, you're a whosoever, you're a whosoever, you're a whosoever, should believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
Brother Eddie said it well many times before. You're going to live forever somewhere. Whether it's going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. It's your decision and it's your choice.
Amen.
I don't want there to be anything in between me and God. I don't want God to look at me and to say, you know what, because you had this in your life, you can't come into my heaven. I want it when I, oh, glory to God, Brother Keith. When I walk over, hallelujah, and I step on those crystal clear streets of gold, I want God to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter ye into a land of rest. Hallelujah. But what scares me is there's people in the sound of my voice that will sit back and will not give God all their heart. There's only one thing that God wants from you, and that is all of you. That's all He wants of you. All of you. We make everything so hard and so difficult, and I have to know this and I have to know that. Listen, I tell my wife all the time. I said, I'm the dumbest person I know. But Jesus still loves me. Jesus still loves me. And He helps me. He's with me everywhere I go. There's an old gospel song, and Brother Jeff might know it. It's everywhere He goes, the Lord is always with me. Everywhere He goes, He's right there by my side. He's constantly cheering me, pressing for the victory. Everywhere I go, He's right there with me. I think about blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter number 10. Blind Bartimaeus, he was blind from birth, the Bible says. He couldn't see. What a terrible, terrible thing to be not be able to see. You ever thought about that? You ever think about you not being able to see a sunrise or a sunset or a computer screen or your phone? Or come to think of it, that don't sound half bad. Lord, I don't want to be blind. To be able to wake up in the morning and see my beautiful wife's face, that is a blessing. We take our eyesight for granted. But blind Bartimaeus, he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. He'd heard the commotion, but he was sitting kind of in the back. You see, when Jesus came by, it wasn't just one or two people with him, Brother Thomas. There was a crowd everywhere he went. There was a commotion. And he could hear the scuffling and the people, Jesus, it's Jesus. Hey, can you, it's Jesus, He's coming. He's coming. Shh, here He comes. Listen to what He has to say. And blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.
Right.
And the disciples walked by and said, shh, you're making too much noise, man. You're making a scene. Don't do that. And he said, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He realized he needed a Savior. He realized there was something wrong in his life and he needed to reach out to Jesus. And Jesus stopped and he turned and he looked back to him. And about that time, Bartimaeus stood up. They used to have these coverings that go over their head that would associate them with being blind. Kind of like we do nowadays, they have the big glasses and the big long cane. And we know, okay, we need to watch out because that person can't see. That associated with him with being blind. He removed that from off of his head. That's the first part of faith right there.
Amen.
He removed it and he said, you know what? I've been associated with this for so long and I'm tired of it. You've been associated with that in your life for so long. Anxiety's got to go. Depression's got to go. That feeling of worthlessness has got to go. I'm talking to somebody tonight. I'm telling you what, it's got to go. Tonight you're going to be free. Tonight you're going to be free. I said, tonight you're going to be free. Glory to God. And he went, and what did Jesus tell him? Wilt thou be made whole? He didn't have to say, you're healed. He said, you want to be made whole? And Bartimaeus said, you know it. And he said, you're made whole. Just like that. He didn't have to go back for an appointment in 2 weeks to see if everything was all right. No, Jesus said, you're going to see, you're going to see. Jesus said, you're healed, you're healed.
That's it.
Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus said it, that's it. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It don't matter if you believe it or not, God said it, that settles it. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. That's just all there is to that. Amen? Trying to find my, I lost my place here. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30. You don't have to turn there. Another familiar story. Familiar passage of Scripture. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was just a man. Don't know much about him. Don't know much about his history. He was just a man. I find it interesting that there was a man laying by the wayside on the side of the road on the way to the temple. Where people going to worship. My sister testified this morning about her instance she had where she was able to bless somebody and help somebody and really listen to the voice of God. That touched my heart. But you know, I find it interesting that this man's over here on the side of the road. The first person that comes by is a priest.
Right.
Now we look at the priest and we say, surely this man right here is going to help somebody out. Can I tell you, everybody that looks good isn't good. Everybody that looks right isn't right. You can look like you got it all together, but you really don't. I've found that in my short time span of life. People can dress up the part, but and walk seemingly the walk, and talk seemingly the talk, but their fruit ain't no good. Their fruit ain't no good. And it's okay to call their fruit ain't no good, because you know what? That's rotten fruit. Amen? You don't want no part of that. You don't want no part of that. The priest comes by, and I can just see him. He's all in his finest attire. He doesn't want to get dirty. Bless God. I'm going to worship God today. Glory to God. And he sees the man on the side and said, I'm going to act like I didn't see that.
Yep.
We've never done that. We've never done that. As Christians, God help us, we've never done that. We've never seen somebody that needs help and say, somebody else will help them. Amen. Amen or oh me. The next person that comes by is a Levite. He's so repulsed by what's going on over there, he passes on the other side of the road.
Yep.
I ain't even getting close to him. Are you kidding me? That guy right there. Get over here. What if he has a disease? The next person that comes by is the Good Samaritan. I find it interesting that Jesus said the Good Samaritan looked upon him and had compassion upon him. To have compassion on somebody means you were in that situation before. That meant he had to be on the side of the road beaten up before. What I'm trying to tell you, church, is on our way to the temple to worship, there's lost people that we go by every day. There's people that the devil has beaten up and left half dead. Luke chapter number 10 says the man was left half dead.
Right.
There's people that have believed the devil's lies and are out there and need help. And we're the only ones. If not us, who? If not now, when? If there was ever a time in the history of the church that the church needs to stand up and be real,
It's
now.
Right now.
Listen, get rid of all the other superficial stuff. Just start loving people.
Amen.
Just start loving people. And I'm talking about just tell them Jesus loves you. You ain't got to, well, Brother Chris, what do I say when I go up to somebody to share the gospel? Start off with Jesus loves you. Because you know what? The devil doesn't love nobody. And somebody needs to hear Jesus loves you. When I'm out and about and either at a fast food place or wherever I might be, I find it interesting the new phrase people say was, have a blessed one. Have a blessed one. I don't want to have a blessed one. I want to have Jesus. I don't want to be blessed. I want Jesus. You can keep your blessing, give me Jesus. Above the headboard on our bed, it says, in the morning, whoo, glory to God. Every time I read it, I get excited. In the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Because He's the only one that's going to make me through this day. He's the only one that's going to carry me through everything I got to go through. He's the only one I can trust in. He's the only one that's never failed me. He's the one that we need to surrender to. He's the one that we need to get real with. I told the Sunday school class as I was going down the road this week, John 3:16 came to my mind. And I was quoting it, of course, like we all would. And I stopped, for God so loved the world. And I stopped a second and I said, God, You loved me. You loved me.
Yes.
You see, the problem with us a lot today is we get a little bit too prideful. We get to thinking, you know what, bless God, I'm a good person. I've always been a good person. I walk the walk, I talk the talk, I go to church, I read my Bible. Let me tell you something, if there wasn't a Savior, you'd be busting hell wide open. And don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that it's the blood of Jesus that washes away every sin. Oh, glory to God. Let us never forget the cross. Never, let us never forget what He did on Calvary. He was born of a virgin birth. We just celebrated Christmas. And He walked for 33 and a half years on this earth. And He died on a cruel, rugged cross. Why? So I could be free. So that I could be free.
Amen.
What kind of man would do that for me? So that I could be free. So that I could be free. Oh, what a Savior. To be free. We sing songs like, once like a bird in a prison I dwelt.
Uh-huh.
No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God.
Amen.
He set me free.
Set us free.
Oh, hallelujah. I said He set me free.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God, for setting me free. Oh, hallelujah. I want to go to the book of Romans, chapter number 5, real quick. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners,
yes.
Christ died for us. I don't know what that does for y'all. Oh, hallelujah. But when I wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I say, thank God He died for me.
Amen.
Thank God He died for me, because I'm just an old sinner. But I've been saved by grace. I've been washed in His blood. I've been made whiter than snow. And that gives me hope. And that gives me joy. Glory to God. But God commendeth His love toward us.
Hallelujah.
Wow, Brother Jim, I was still a sinner. I was still a sinner. Oh, rotten, dirty, good for nothing sinner. That's what I was. I was good for nothing. But He died for me. He gave His life for me. What is the thing that God could give us? Himself. He's not bound by money. He's not bound by time. But He gave us Himself. To come down on this, I don't know, glory to God. That might be just for me. But man, when I was going down the road, that came all over me. And I said, glory to God.
Yeah.
I know You love me, Lord. I know sometimes in our life, we just need God to wrap His arms around us and give us a big old bear hug. And say, you know what, my child? I know you're going through some things. I know you're fighting things. And I know, but it's going to be a little while longer. A little while longer. And you're going to be seeing me face to face. Face to face, we're going to be seeing Him. I know it's just going to be a little while longer. A good preacher friend of mine, he said, hold on. Hold on. Hold on like you're the third monkey waiting to get on Noah's Ark and it's starting to rain. Hold on. Hold on. And I was like, that's pretty good right there. Hold on. Hold on a little tighter. Hold on a little longer. Because just a little while, we're going to see Him. Just a little while, we're going to see Him. I'm reminded of the 12 that went over into the promised land. And Moses said, send me back a report. Send me back a report what you see. See, it's all about your perception. When you're right with God, my brother Scott Morrow, he sung a song. That's just a hill from heaven's point of view. Man, I thought about that. I said, wow.
Yeah.
You think about that. That ain't nothing to God. That ain't nothing to God. My wife always tells me, she says, that ain't nothing for a climber like me. I said, glory to God. Glory to God. But you know what? I thank God that He's still on the throne.
Yes, He is.
I thank God that He watches out for us.
Yes, praise the Lord.
The 12, we all know the story. They went into the land. 10 people came back and they said, listen, here's the truth. People are giants. They're huge. The grapes are as big as people. There's no way that we can enter in. But Joshua and Caleb. Oh, hallelujah. Give me 2 people that'll stand up for God and I have 2 people that'll change the world. Come on, somebody. Give me 2 people that'll stand up for God and say, I don't care what you say. I'm going to stand on the promises and God's going to take us through this. And that's where we're going to go. They stood up and they said, Moses, everything that the other 10 said were true. That's truth. They are giants.
Sure.
Yes, the grapes are big. But I want you to know something else. That land It flows with milk and honey. And that is the land that God our Father has promised us. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I want you to notice something that's very interesting. I've been reading a little bit in Revelation. It's very interesting that what the same thing that God said to Moses, I will be with you. I will be your God, and they will be my people. Brother Eddie, in the book of Revelation, God said the very same thing. Glory to God. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God I'm a child of God. Thank God I'm a child of God. We might have to go through lands of giants. We might have to go, church, through things that we don't understand and we don't know. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And I'm not going to be scared and I'm not going to be afraid. The Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear.
Sure.
I'm not going to be afraid because Jesus is with me. I'm not going to be scared because Jesus is with me. I'm not going to be worried. Come on, somebody. I said, I'm not going to be worried because Jesus is with me. John 14 and verse 1. I love this passage of Scripture. I quote it all the time. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Listen, our hearts can be troubled. I'm going to tell you the truth. At times, my heart can be troubled. Verse 2. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus had just got done telling them everything that was going to happen at the crucifixion. And verse number 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. Woo! If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Not here, over there. And if I go to prepare a place for you, come on, somebody. I will receive you unto myself. Why? Because that where I am, you can be also.
Amen.
Woo! Glory! Hallelujah!
Amen.
Man, that lights my fire. Not only does He want to be with me, He's building a place for me, an eternal home for me, where I can stay and I can live and I can worship Him forever. The last part says, whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas says unto him, how can we know the way, Master? And he said, I am the way.
Yeah.
Same thing he said to Moses.
Right.
I am that I am. That's the one I am. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I see a lot of these bumper stickers out that say coexist. You ever seen them?
Come on,
let's just call it what it is. Saw one the other day. Coexist. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Coexist. I'm not coexisting with anybody. I'm with Jesus, and that's whose side I'm on.
Amen.
If you want to know whose side I'm on, look for God. That's where I'm at. The devil doesn't change his game. The game's still the same. You might get a little trick here, but the game's still the same.
That's true.
Joshua 24:15. Joshua looked at the people and said, so choose you this day who you will serve. Same thing we're in this day and time. You're going to worship somebody else over there. You're going to worship a president. You're going to worship a senator. You're going to worship your car, your house. You're going to worship your family member. Choose you this day who you will serve. But he said, just in case you were wondering, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And that's where we're at. It's time for the church to square our shoulders back and to stand up straight.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of seeing people down. Bless God, Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
If you got the victory, look up.
Amen.
If you really got the victory, look up.
Yeah.
There's times in our life where we go through rough times. Psalms 84 talks about the valley of Baca. And it rains on us. It seems like it's continual and continual. But Psalm chapter number 3 said, God is the lifter up of my head.
Yes, He will.
My dad would always tell me, he said, lift up your head, son. You got to see where you're going.
Amen.
Don't run into nothing. You got to see where you're going. He's the lifter up of our head.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm reminded of the story of Elijah. He came out and he spoke the words against the people. And the whole entire army came around and surrounded him. The whole army surrounded him. Can you imagine being surrounded by an entire army? They're mad. They're not just, hey, so how you doing? They're down to business. They're fixing to take you out. The servant comes out and says, "Alas, master, what do we do?" And he said, "If you look up, oh, glory to God. If you'll look up a little bit higher, you'll see that they that be for us are more than those that be against us." I'm telling you, child of God, if you'll look up a little higher, you'll see that those that are for us are many more than those that are against us. It might look like there's a lot of people against us, and it might look like we're outnumbered. But just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. That's all I need. Just me and Jesus and we can make it. Just me and Jesus and we can make it. I'm reminded of the man, the thief on the cross, who was hanging there. And he said, "Jesus, have mercy on me. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve to die this way. But Jesus, have mercy upon me." What did Jesus tell him? "Today, woo, glory, woo, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Amen.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, that's mercy. That's grace. Where he looked over and he said, "You know what? I understand that you're a thief, but I love you just like I love this entire world. For God so loved the world." There's a song, and I want to read just a little excerpt of it if it's in here. If it's in the book, I want to read it. But I want to go a little bit further. Romans 5, chapter number 9. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Thank God that we are saved from His wrath. Amen?
Amen.
Let me see if it's in here. 220. Y'all know I'm not a singer. One day I will be.
That's right.
Amen. One day I will be. Right now I just listen to Brother Eddie. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bound down with care, God gave a son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." I love verse 3. "Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky."
Amen.
When my sister was alive and she would grow up, she would always ask me, said, "How much do you love me?" And I would say, "This much." And she would say, "I love you this much." When we look at God and we say, "God, I love you this much." And you know what God does? God stretches His arms out. And He shows us where He was crucified. And He said, "I love you that much. I love you that much." The next time you feel like you're a nobody, remember that Jesus died for you.
That's true, true. Amen.
If He didn't die for anybody else, He died for you. He died for my sin. He died so that I can be with Him. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 12. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Verse 13. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse number 14 is very important. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." I'm going to read that again. I'm just going to be real right here. If you've got sin in your life, get it out. If there's something between you and God, and only you know what it is, get it out.
Amen.
If there's a little bit, and you say, God, I'm just going to go along with that. Nobody needs to know about this. I've carried it for a long time. Is that going to be fine? You tell the devil he's a liar.
That's right.
You tell the devil he's a liar. Because you need to get it out of your life. If there's something that God needs to remove from your life, what you need to do is you need to open up your heart's door. You need to open it up wide. You need to say, God, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender everything to you, Lord. You see, when we raise our hands, the devil looks at it as a sign of surrender. God looks at it as a sign of praise. There's a reason why when we raise our hands are open. I can't hold on to anything when my hands are open. I release it to you.
Amen.
God, I give it to you. I've been toting this around for a long time. It started off small. It wasn't very heavy. And I toted it for a long time. But God, I'm ready to break my alabaster box tonight. I'm ready to pour out my praise on you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what my neighbor might think about me. God, tonight's the night. God, tonight's the night. Let not sin have dominion over you.
Amen.
For ye are not under the law. A lot of people, I'm just going to be real, a lot of people try to teach the law. Yes, there is a law, but we are under grace. Thank God we are under grace. Thank God that His grace, Brother Keith, reached down to me. I was in a miry pit, and He reached down. Ooh, oh, what a Savior. He reached down to me. Sister Linda, He washed me with His blood. He made me whiter than snow. He set me upon a rock and made my feet unmovable. And He did more than that. There's a story of a man named Mephibosheth. We all know the story in 2 Samuel. I'll be with us in chapter number 12. Mephibosheth was lame since he was 5 years old. He was leaving out his father, Jonathan, and his grandfather, Saul, had both gotten killed when he was lame. The maidservant scooped up Mephibosheth, he's only 5 years old, and was running for her life, tripped over a rock, and he fell. And it caused him to be lame from that day forward. Couldn't walk, couldn't do anything for himself. The precious little boy is only 5 years old. He can't do anything. He gets put over to the side and kind of forgot about. We as Christians can be Mephibosheths. We as Christians, if we're not careful, can have things happen to us that makes us to where we don't want to walk with Jesus anymore. And puts us over to the side. Everybody's forgot about us. But then, here comes David. David said, is there anybody left of the house of Saul, of the house of Jonathan? Because David loved Jonathan. That I can bless. And Ziba come up to him and says, there's this one person that I remember. His name is Mephibosheth. David said, go find him. I got to be where he's at. I got to bless him. When the Bible tells stories like this, it's a picture of God reaching down to us. You have to look at it like that. David goes and he's able to find, and they bring him before David. Mephibosheth is a nobody coming before the king. Come on, somebody. Somebody got to get that. He's a nobody. Can't even walk. Brother Eddie sings the song, I can't even walk unless you're holding my hand. I can't even walk, Lord. And he comes before the king. And Mephibosheth said, he bowed on his face and he said, it is I, Master. And the first thing David says to him was, "Fear not. Fear not. I didn't come to destroy you. I came to bless you." Right. Oh, hallelujah. Right. I came to give you life. Yeah. Hallelujah. From now on, what he said, from now on, you're not going to eat where you've been eating before. Now on, you're going to eat at the king's table. Come on, somebody. You've been eating scraps, and God said you're going to eat at the king's table from now on. Come on, somebody needs to get that in their spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to be eating at the king's table from now on. Why? Because he surrendered all. Mephibosheth said, "I can't do it no more. I can't do it no more. I can't make it no more." And David said, "Don't you worry about it. We're going to take care of you." And once he surrendered everything, once he bowed on his face and surrendered everything to the king, then David was able to do what he wanted to do. You see, too many times we get our pridefulness up and we say, "I can do it myself. I can do it myself, God." And God said, "Just surrender. Just surrender to me." Amen. It's interesting that the man that wrote the song, "I Surrender All," that we sing a lot of times, he was a very renowned art teacher, very good at it, loved what he did. For 4 or 5 years, he told and tussled with God, "Should I be an art teacher? Should I be an evangelist? What should I do?" And finally, when God gave him the song, he said, "I surrender all. All my talents, I give to you." Didn't know that. In 1885, he wrote the song. Isn't that interesting? "I surrender all." If the music would come, I know it's been kind of all over the place, but if you'll stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, God just wants us to surrender all. That's all he wants. Surrender all. If you're in this house tonight and you say, "Brother Chris, I've been holding back," don't hold back anymore. Break that alabaster box, because it's Jesus who you're speaking to. It's Jesus. It's not a person. It's not a man. It's not somebody that's going to hold you accountable. It's somebody that's going to love you with an undying love. If there is sin in your life, ain't nobody here going to judge you. Ain't nobody here going to say, "Well, bless God, I know that." No, we're going to love you. We're going to love you. I feel like sharing this story in closing. I've shared it before, but God just impressed this on my heart. There was a well-known evangelist who was preaching in the Midwest back in the 20s and 30s. Back then, you got on a train and went everywhere you went. And he got on the train and was sitting down after a big, long crusade that he'd had and sat across from a young man who was really kind of distraught. And he looked at the young man and he said, "Young man, I'm a preacher, I'm a minister. Whatever is bothering you, you can share it with me. Whatever you're going through, I want you to know I'm going to help you pray." He said, "Well, preacher, you don't understand. Back many, 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 many years ago, I got mad at my mom and dad and I left home. I was a wayward child and I just couldn't stand their rules no more and I left." He said, "But preacher, I went to one of your crusades and the Lord got a hold of me and I got saved. And I got my heart right with God, preacher." He said, "Well, that's good, son. So what's the matter?" He said, "Well, I wrote my mom and daddy and said, 'Mom and dad, if you'll welcome me back home, I want you to put just a little bitty old white cloth on the apple tree out back. I'll be able to see it from the train track and I'll know if it's okay to come back home. I'm really sorry and I ask you to forgive me.' Preacher, will you look out the window? Will you see we're almost there?" The preacher looked out and he said, "Son, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I've never seen so much white on an apple tree in all my life." And that's what Jesus is telling us. Though we might have lost our way, though we might have let things creep in, Solomon said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. But God, tonight,
I surrender all. God, I surrender all to You. I give everything to You, Lord. I lay it at Your feet. Father God, I'm tired of taking it. I'm tired of carrying it. I'm tired of this being in my life, Father. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
To Your hand I commit again with all I am for You, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of Your hand, and I'm Jesus, I believe in You. Jesus, I belong to You. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I see with all I am. Walk with You wherever You go, through tears and joy, I'll trust in You, and I will live in all of Your ways, Your promises forever. Jesus, I believe in You. Jesus, I belong to You. You're the reason that I live, that I sing. Jesus, I believe in You. And Jesus, I belong to You. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. I commit again with all I am for You, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of Your hand, and I'm Yours forever. I believe in You, and Jesus, I belong to You. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I belong to You. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. And Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I see with all I have.
Heaven's waiting up a little bit higher. Gonna walk right out of this valley. I do. With my tears fall like a river, and my burdens are high as a mountain. And when the ones I've counted on have let me down, that's when I go to Jesus. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Isn't over. The waters are troubled. If you want to get in, now's the time. I've been feeling for a long while now, there's a lot of people that need a healing. Sometimes it's an outside healing and sometimes it's an inside healing. It's all right. The man that was at the pool of Bethesda was there for 36 years. Long time. And he said, Lord, when the angel comes down and troubles the water, I don't have anybody that'll take me down there. What God's trying to tell you tonight is, Your miracle is walking right in front of you if you will reach out and touch it. The woman with an issue of blood dealt 12 years. The Bible says she spent all she had. But Brother Rowdy, she reached out. And she touched not just any part of the garment. She touched the hem of his garment, represented royalty. God is standing right now with his hand outstretched. Are you ready to be healed? That's what he's asking you. Are you ready to be healed? If you are, raise your hand. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Play for me. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Ain't no doctor did it. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. We a Pentecostal church. It's all right to shout and praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna praise his name. Come on, somebody. Come on and praise him. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Oh, look what the Lord has.
Come on, just give the Lord praise in the house tonight. Glory to God. How many knows what the Lord can do? Amen. For God so loved the world. Aren't you glad for His amazing love and His miraculous grace? God bless you for being with us tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you. Those of you that have come for prayer, you receive what God has done for you. Take that miracle. Don't let Satan try to make you doubt anything. God's real in this place tonight. And I thank God for the mighty move of His Spirit. Amen. Let us bow our heads, and with this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for Your anointed blessing tonight. God, for the precious message, God, that the man brought tonight for us. God, help us to understand and know that You do love us. God, in spite of our frailties, in spite of our faults, Father, we know that we can come to You. I thank You, Lord, for the lives that You have touched tonight, for the miracles that You have wrought, for those who have been made whole. And Father, I pray tonight that Your protecting power would go with each and every one of us. Keep us all safe from harm and danger. Reach out to those tonight, God, who are lost and undone. God, I pray, Lord, that You would bring them to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. God, have mercy upon their souls. Reach there and touch those who are sick and suffering tonight. Father, we know that Your healing power can reach out to them. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.